This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
So Cody Van Wagenerich addressed the media yesterday, gave a little press conference, went through some of the roster. You keep saying there's a lot of pressure on the Mets. I guess in some aspect there, in fact, is. But are you feeling good for this 60-game sprint? Are you feeling anxious? Like, what's your take on where the Mets are right now?
I'm feeling good. I mean, how can you not feel good at this point? You got the DH. Sounds
I'm so
like
frustrated with myself. I'm actually excited about it.
Forrest Gump, Lowry feels like at some point he's going to get out of this giant leg brace, which I still can't believe we're talking about. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
We hope that at some point Jed will be able to transition out of the leg brace.
Do you realistically think that you're going to get any productivity from Jed Lowry this year?
No. I'm not counting on it.
That's got to go down as well. I mean, talk about a horrendous signing.
Could have signed LeMahieu.
Ugh. You know, that's not even a revisionist history for me. Like, when the Yankees signed LeMahieu, Chris, I was like, boy, that's a really good signing.
We talked about it.
Ugh.
Before anyone was signed, we went through this. You wanted LeMahieu. We wanted Ottavino.
Yep.
Oh, yep.
Except we re-signed Familia.
Which we knew. I mean, you knew that was going to be an awful signing.
The biggest thing for us is going to be our bullpen. Bottom line.
I agree. But here's the thing. When I read you these names, and I know it's not names and paper and all that. When I read you the guys they have in the bullpen, they have the potential to be a good bullpen.
I don't disagree with you.
Right? I mean, Betances, when right, is terrific.
Dominant. He's dominant.
Diaz, 2 years ago, you could argue is one of the best relievers, if not the best in all of baseball. I don't love Familia, but I guess he serves a purpose. Lugo, you love. Gesellman,
I trust him the most, Dave. Out of all the guys the Mets have in their bullpen, I trust him the most, even though he doesn't have the upside of a Diaz, of a Betances, or even a Familia when he's at his best. Lugo is the guy that I trust.
I agree with that.
And the bullpen for the Mets is going to be critical, especially early on because of your starting pitching not being able to have a proper spring training or summer training. You know what I mean? The ramp-up time is so short that you're not going to have a chance to break those guys in. So, I mean, if you're talking about your starting pitcher being able to give you, you know, 4 or 5 innings and then you're having to turn to your bullpen, I mean, that's not how this Mets pitching staff was built. It was built for your starting pitchers to be able to give you 6 or 7 innings and then rely on your bullpen to get you 6 outs. That's what it was supposed to be. But that's not what the season's going to allow for you to be able to do. That's not going to be your strategy.
The biggest detriment of that team last year, too, was the bullpen.
Oh, yeah. They were all
they can't afford
if
the that.
I think, didn't we figure out, like, if the bullpen was average last year, the Mets would have been a playoff team?
It was a train wreck, Dave.
Bullpen was, yeah.
It was a train wreck. Yeah,
but
the bullpen
looks to be much better this year than it was last year.
Yeah, but it looked to be all right last year.
Well, you thought that Diaz, who was coming off 57 saves or whatever he had, was going to be really good.
Exactly right, and he wasn't.
No, he was. Forget about really good. He was unpitchable.
Okay, and Chris knows this. I mean, the hardest thing for a player to do. I mean, his stuff was still good. You notice this. I mean, his fastball. I mean, control and everything else. End up throwing, you know, straight fastballs, which people are going to hit no matter how hard you throw it. But, I mean, was that stuff or was that between the ears? And the hardest thing to correct as a player is what's going on between your ears.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, so you can't just say all of a sudden, okay, he'll be
fine. The scary part about that, Rick, you might not ever get that back. You might not ever see the Edwin Diaz that you saw in Seattle. You don't think he can get much worse than it was last year, and everybody's anticipating that he's going to be a lot better with having a full year and having gone through the transition already. But we never know how a player is going to react to that. You can't. It's hard to get inside the mind of an athlete and understand the psyche and especially when it comes to the mentality that a closer has to have.
Yeah, maybe it helps. You see the guy that gets the ball to start the season as the closer.
But maybe, in all actuality, this helps not having fans in seats. I think it's helping the PGA Tour
for the mental aspect of this.
The mental aspect. Yeah. I mean, you go into it, you feel the anxiety because it's a game, but if there's no one, I mean, if there's no crowd.
Feels like practice.
Yep. And usually maybe there's some pressure that's off these guys a little bit. Yeah. I think that's possible.
Like the golfer said, it's like playing around with my buddies. That's usually when you play, you play because you're relaxed.
Didn't it look like that for Dustin Johnson on Saturday, Rick? Where he had 9 birdies and no bogeys?
You see these scores, man. I mean, he's shooting 61. I mean, the score's been crazy. I think they're setting the courses up a little bit easier because you want to see fireworks because there's no, I mean, on TV it looks better when guys are, you know, eagles and birdies all over the place.
Yeah.
But that mentality for an athlete is completely different. I mean, part of what once that snowball starts rolling, and now you're, I mean, the worst is when your home fans turn on you. You can
Which
feel
you saw last year.
I exactly mean,
he could,
right.
He couldn't
you can
pitch
feel
at home last year.
And you have the safety net out. I mean, you got Patances, which is a huge safety net. You know,
and
Lugo can close.
Yeah,
but Lugo, his is a durability thing. You trust him, but you can only use him so much.
Right.
Agreed.
So here's what I'll say. It's bullpen for me, and then because of the health concerns with the starting pitchers, just because, you know, stretching them out, getting them ramped up, the depth behind your starting five is not great.
Well, it's non-existent.
Yeah, so that's that would be,
right. Am I wrong? I mean, we know who the five are, right? It's DeGrom, it's Stroman, it's Matz, it's Porcello, and it's Waka. And after that, it's nothing.
After that, you're in trouble, yeah.
You have nothing.
Do you consider using Gazelman in an opener type of situation?
It's all hands on deck at that point.
You just no, I'm just asking because he's got experience as a starting pitcher.
You could.
I would prefer him in the bullpen, just the new rule, have to face three hitters and everything else. Mm-hmm. But if you have to, I mean, if that's the way you have to go to make it work, you got to do it.
The Mets are interesting because I feel like they almost have the biggest swing of what they could be. Like, I think you could see the Mets just be not good at all, and I think the Mets could be an excellent team. And I don't know that there's that many teams that have that.
Look at their lineup. Well, unfortunately for us, there's a lot of teams in the NL East that have that, unfortunately.
No, but I think, like, Atlanta to me is going to be good. Washington to me is going to be good. I can't imagine those teams won't be good. I could see the Mets not being good, or I could see the Mets being really
but how
good.
Can,
the Phillies have to be better, don't they? With
yeah, the
Girardi?
Phillies can be better, too. But yeah. How can you just say, I mean, that's... I mean, Washington dealt with the same problems that the Mets dealt with last year, with a bad bullpen. They lost Anthony Rendon.
Yep.
I mean, you go lineup for lineup. I mean, look at the Mets lineup, what they can throw out there. If Cespedes is healthy.
If he's healthy and can play left field, and you can put McNeil at second.
Here's the thing, though. When you look at how this team is constructed, and they just got, I mean, they got lucky that there's a universal DH.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through how many one-trick pony players we have. Good offensively, liability defensively. And we have, we have depth at that spot. Like, no one else in the league has depth. That's it. Why do you have that many guys around? Why wouldn't you, I mean, if Dom Smith is going to be a DH, which he never had, barely play first base, he stinks at left field. Like, why do we have so many of these players when there are definitely some other needs
that we
have.
Yeah, it feels like they're built very strangely, right? Well, look at, I mean, you go through the entire roster and it's littered with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Even guys have so many of those guys.
Eduardo Nunez, even guys that they've just have signed off the scrap heap are these guys.
Just signed Melky.
Matt Adams is that guy.
Yeah, I don't get it. But again, I mean, this is what we have. So,
talented team, though.
No, there's plenty of talent. I mean, you go top to bottom. I mean, you got Rosario came around, you know, in the second half of the season. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
McNeil had a great season. Conforto, it seems like he has no, I mean, Brody said he has no restrictions.
Let me ask you guys this question, Rick, because it feels like the Mets found something in the second half. Are they going to be able to carry that over into this year? Because, I mean, listening to the general manager, that's what he's talking about. You know,
no.
He said they had the best record in the last 60 games of the regular season last year. I went back and looked. They were 39-21. But is that going to be something that they can carry over into this sprint type of season?
No, because they didn't get off to a good start. Last 3 years, they haven't got off to great starts.
Yeah, but you don't know that they can't.
I'm not saying that they can't. I don't think it just naturally carries over.
Right, I agree with that.
There's no momentum.
No. No. I mean, do you think the Jets have momentum coming into this year from their 6-2 run last year in the second half?
They could gain
confidence. Every season is new, but you hear coaches and general managers trying to sell us on what we did at the end of last year. And it's just like, you know, for me, you know, I always came into the season as every year being its own thing.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with you.
You don't carry it over. You know what I mean? You can learn certain lessons, and that can help you. I mean, for the young players that the Mets have, having that much success in the second half can give them confidence coming into this year, but you still have to go about the business of putting your team together. And I'm just interested to see what this Mets team will look like now that you have all of these different parts to work with.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it carries over from 1 year to the next.
Especially in baseball, though. Of all the sports, momentum in baseball, you're only as good as your next day starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. I mean, there are a lot of positives. There are some negatives. I mean, the bullpen could be a negative. Lack of depth with the starting pitching rotation could be
I think that might be my bigger concern than even the bullpen.
Defense.
After five starters, you have nothing.
No, you have nothing. But that's if someone goes down, right? So I'm not going to sit here and forecast injuries. I'm just saying at the moment, the five are good. The five are fine. You got the best pitcher in baseball. On paper, your bullpen looks like it's okay. That's if Familia and Diaz bounce back and Dellin Betances is 100% after his injury. Defensively, you're still not great.
No.
And then, I mean, we talked about this a couple different times with this will be a year where you're going to rely on your manager. And we have a first-year manager,
mm-hmm.
which could lead to some problems, some hiccups.
All right, let's hear from the GM, the general
manager. During 60 games, you can't afford. You're not going to be able to afford hiccups in a 60-game season.
Here's Brody on his baseball team this season.
We still have a lot of talented players on our roster. You know, I think that the fact that we're coming in not only with the same group that we left with, but also with some additional pieces, we feel like we've got a group that can contend. You know, when I look backwards to where we were at the end of the season last year, I think we had the best record in the National League for the last 60 games of the season last year. So if we can pick off up where we left off and go through a 60-game sprint, I think we're going to be in a position at the end that we'll be happy with.
Such a strange thing to say. I mean, yes, you finish 39-21, and if you start at 2-5, I think all of that is completely out the window.
Exactly, none of it matters.
He's selling hope.
I get it, but to sell hope because you're a good team. I mean, this looks to be a good team. I'm sorry, I don't buy into finishing 39-21 is going to carry over to a pandemic-shortened season this year.
But what he said is one of the things I don't like about this team. We got a bunch of talented players. Well, what does that mean? I mean, it's like the Knicks plan B. You know, we got some guys, you know, there's some talent. Well, how do they fit? You got a bunch of guys that play the same position. How does that, I mean, that's not how you build a team. You got guys that are talented that fill certain roles, certain positions. You got a bunch of guys that, I mean, how many guys in the Mets can hit but can't play defense?
Most.
Okay, so I mean, is that, so what are you saying? We got a bunch of talent. Well, how does that talent fit together?
Or is it
a jumbled mess?
It's a jumbled mess, and you hope that defensively they're average and that offensively they're good and that their pitching is above average and their bullpen can rebound.
You still got the same catcher who's not great defensively.
Listen, you could run through the entire roster. They don't have a lot of plus defenders.
A lot or any?
I mean, Alonso is not. Cano is not. J.D. Davis is not. Lowry can't even move. McNeil
probably
is not
Marisnik.
A plus defender.
Rosario is
average.
Marisnik's probably your plus defender.
And Nimmo's a good defender.
And Nimmo's a good defender, yeah. And Conforto's all right when he's in the right position.
He's fine.
Yeah, you're going to have to score some runs now.
Yeah, which they can.
You're going to have to score some runs. And hope that your pitchers can get the job done and keep your defense from being exposed. I think that has to be what their philosophy is, but I mean, it's a lot riding on your pitching staff, and you can't afford any injuries with your starters.
No.
Just because you know the state of the depth behind them, but also knowing that your bullpen is still a bit of a question mark.
Here's Brody on Yoenis Cespedes.
Cess is an incredible athlete. You know, when he's 100% healthy, he's got a dynamic skill set with all five tools. We'll want to make sure that we put him in a position to be able to utilize those tools that he has.
I don't know what that exactly means, do you, Rick?
Yeah, if he can run, we hope to put him in left field. If he can, he's going to be our DH. That's what that means. And we no longer serve boar's head cold cuts at the city field.
Yeah, no concessions at all. So that
nothing boar related. He's a big part of this team, man. He is.
Huge. If he can be good, not even dominant, great, carry like he did a couple years ago. If he can be good, it changes what this team is able to do.
Yeah, he's a threat in that lineup.
Yep.
I mean, when he's right, he's a threat in that lineup.
And he can protect Alonso, too.
The length of that lineup. And the fact it's only 60 games, I mean, a guy like Cano who, you know, you're trying to get him in the lineup but keep him healthy at the same time, I don't know if that's a concern with 60 games as much, now that you have a DH.
Well, let's be honest. God forbid Cano got hurt, is it that big of a deal for the Mets?
It's not that big of a deal, but if, I mean, Robbie Cano can still hit.
I agree, but if he got hurt, he can't play. So you put McNeil at second, and you put one of the 55 DHs you have at DH.
Yeah, but if you want this team functioning, at its best, I would like to have Cano, McNeil, and Cespedes in the lineup.
In a perfect world, that'd be nice. But how often last year did Cano function at the best level he can? Not often.
No, he didn't. But again, that's during the course of 162 games. And
yeah, maybe he's better in a 60-game sprint.
And he was dealing with an injury last year that he didn't want to talk about or tell anyone about. So hopefully he's had time to heal that up. And he realizes he needs to have a bounce-back season. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that need to have bounce-back seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, Cespedes needs to come back so we can get another contract. Familia has to bounce back because he was terrible. Diaz has to bounce back because he was terrible. Betances has something to prove coming off the injury. Cano has to prove he can still play. Rosario has to continue to progress and move forward. Nimmo took a bit of a step back.
Mm-hmm.
I think Conforto has all the makings of being a stud. Alonso coming off 53 home runs. I don't worry about him.
No, you don't worry about him. You don't worry about McNeil.
Listen, I'm excited. I love the fact this is going to be a sprint. I love the fact that, you know, they have the DH. There's still some concerns, but until we see them get on the field and see some of that stuff, I mean, it's not even worth focusing on now.
Well, we're 3 weeks away from this weekend, right, from baseball returning, so we're not far off. Let's go to call or two, and then we'll get to observations. Mel in Jersey. Mel, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Love the show. So I just want to go with this idea. I think baseball should start allowing celebrations, like for a hot pitcher, say a pitcher get hot and you just start, you know, doing celebrations, or a big hit happening, they do a celebration. For example, players like Wesley Matthews or Emmanuel Mudiay and people like that, you can remember them because they got their signature thing. And I feel like Odell Beckham single-handedly kept the Giants entertaining when they wasn't good to watch with his celebrations and his good play.
Well, unfortunately, that's not the mentality in baseball.
No, and good play might be a factor, but celebrations, I don't think, move the needle.
That was actually one of the things that Ian Desmond mentioned in his post.
Was the guys being selfish?
Yeah, was the selfish look at me mentality now in the sport. I mean, it's an old school. I mean, it's an old school mentality.
It is. I think baseball needs more. When you style a home run,
I think baseball needs more of that. But you got a bunch of guys. Your best players are hesitant to be.
But you
stars.
Have to decide what. Like, is that allowed? Is that frowned upon? Are you going to get thrown at next time, high and tight, if you do that? Like, you need to come to a consensus of what's allowed and what's not in baseball.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's ridiculous when a guy hits a home run and does a bat flip that he's going to get thrown at by that pitcher the next time he faces him. Like, I think that's ridiculous, man. When guys show genuine enthusiasm, I don't think that the opposing players should look at it as somebody showing them up. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we see touchdown dances in the NFL because the NFL relaxed the rules around celebration because they recognize that's a part of appealing to a younger demographic. Like, baseball is going to have to face some of those same issues, and they're going to have to adjust to the times or get left behind.
I just think you get a majority of the athletes in Major League Baseball that's not who they are. They have a hesitancy to be about themselves, which is unfortunate because I think the fans that you're trying to draw into your game would respond to that, but...
It's not just a game. You got to understand a part of selling the sport is selling the personalities of your players.
Yeah, which I dealt with this with the NHL. I used to ask them all the time, you got to do a better job selling your sport. Like, you have to. I mean, sell these personalities. And they said, we try. Just we have to have participation. Like, the guys that we want to have help us don't want to help us.
Right.
It feels like Mike Trout is trying to be more of that guy, though, right? In baseball,
but that's just
is
not,
for
it just feels like that's not who he is, though, doesn't it? Like, it's just
no,
not
it's
who
not.
He,
it's not who
not
he
his
is.
DNA.
But, no, it's not, Dave. But you saw at the All-Star game, like, they have him mic'd up, and we know that he's interested. Weather is one of his biggest hobbies, so he talks about that. Like, those types of things. That's what we're talking about. Those innovations, like the idea of having players mic'd up, like that's something that. That a lot of fans would be interested
in. I think it'd be great. I think it would
give
you
part,
insight.
But I think part of the problem with Major League Baseball, and this is something that Ian Desmond mentioned, I mean, there's not enough black athletes in the sport. You don't think having more black athletes playing Major League Baseball would be more exciting?
Of course.
Of course it would be.
I think it would have more action, right?
I mean, look, who's the most entertaining player in the NHL right now? To follow or pay attention to. That has no problem being a star. None. It's who he is. He embraces it. And we love it. PK Subban.
The Devil's Own?
Loves him. Love it. I love it. That's who he is. He's not. I mean, he doesn't have to pretend to be anything who's not. That's who he is. He loves it. Baseball needs more of that. I mean, and you see it. I mean, you see, you know, the Dominican players, that they enjoy it. They got, that has to, people are drawn to athletes that you can clearly tell are enjoying what they're doing.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And you don't see that a lot in baseball.
No. You need a lot more of it. And you need it to be relaxed to the point that if you act like that, you're not going to get thrown at the head.
Yeah, that's a downfall. I mean, the last thing you'd want to do is celebrate a home run then take one right, you know,
could you imagine
between
that?
The eyes.
They got to change that about the sport, though, right? That part of the culture, they got to get rid of that because that's dangerous, man.
It's really dangerous.
Like, you're taking somebody's life into your hands, and for what? For what reason?
Because he didn't like how he styled around the bases on his last home run.
Like, come on, man. It's ridiculous.
Or you have a guy score a goal on you, take your water bottle, take a sip, and then throw it in your face.
Now, that's going too far.
Now, that's yeah, exactly. I don't have a problem with you, with
you engaging
in that fisticuffs when somebody does you like that.
Took your water bottle. There's no chance he was just dehydrating, like a Mike Tannenbaum.
Oh, no, he scored. No, he scored. Skated over the net, took a sip of the water bottle, gave me a quick wink, and then just fired the water bottle right back at me.
You must be seething.
That's blatant disrespect.
You must.
I was seething, but I was like 15 years old, and this guy just got out of prison. I was like, okay, good job.
He was in prison, huh?
Yeah, that was one of those teams. It was like straight out of Slapshot, man. These dudes were scary.
That was actually one of the... You had to think about it, huh, Rico?
No, I made a business decision. I wasn't going near him. I mean, all the talk going into that game. Then we see the coach after the game drinking a big pitcher of beer. We're like, we ain't messing with these guys. But one of my biggest achievements in the sport of hockey was that same season, we played that team again in the playoffs and knocked them out.
Nice.
So they beat the hell out of us early. I actually got beat up by their goalie, too, in one of those series. And then we turned around and beat them in the playoffs.
Nice. Yes. Nice. Redemption.
I couldn't comb my hair for at least 10 days.
Why?
Well, because I couldn't get my glove off, which was a problem. And it was my first fight ever. Got jumped from behind. It was the goalie on my back. I couldn't get my glove off because I had it tightened on. And then he just took my helmet off and started punching me. And I was like, I can't do anything. So I put my head down and tried to turtle up. And he hit me in the top of the head probably, I don't know, 25 times.
Oh, God.
I had lumps.
Where was backup? Yeah.
It was a full brawl. It was a hat on a hat. Everyone was fighting.
It wasn't a hat on a hat with you.
No, it was somebody a fist. It was a back. Fist. It was a fist on my hat. I had like Quasimodo head. You know, his head was all deformed.
The other team's goalie was Donkey Konging you?
Yes, whack-a-mole on my head. I was getting an ogre punch in the top of the head. I was just taking it. I had nothing to do.
Oh, my God. All right, you got something to do now. You got to do Knobservations. We'll do that when we return in just a moment right here on 98.70. It's interesting. You mentioned Mike Trout and his weather. I'm also someone that likes to dabble in the weather.
You do like to dabble in the weather.
Oh, yeah.
And to start off Knobservations, as we always do, we're going to go live looking at the weather with David Rothenberg.
The weather outside is weather.
But before we dip into the weather and observations, let's hear the open to an observation.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go. Didn't realize we didn't have the open yet, so we will go to weather with David, handsome David Rothenberg.
The weather is weather.
Thank you very much. The weather outside, in fact, is weather today, and it's not great weather, unfortunately. A lot of rain in the forecast. The best chance of rain sits at 1 o'clock, 60% there, 2 through 4 at 40%. Now, I don't think a driving rain, but I think just kind of a mist slash consistent rain. Then you might have a little window from 5 to 7, even 5 to 8, and then a little bit more sprinkles tonight, and then the overnight should be somewhat clear. Sunset tonight, 8:31. Chance of rain sits at 20%. Humidity, 65%. A little bit of a wind out of the north at 8 miles an hour. Feels like 75, so not too hot out there. Precipitation to this point, 0.2 inches we've seen fall. Pressure at 29.91. Visibility very good, strangely enough, on this cloudy, overcast day. 10 miles. UV index is 6. The air quality index is 19. And we know from yesterday's lesson that falls within the air quality being good level. And there you go. Weather on a Tuesday.
Well done, David. Well done.
Thank you.
In-depth, thorough, beautiful explanation. All right, boys, here we go. Tuesday edition. Game show that has, I mean, the amount of phone calls I take on a daily basis trying to get this show on television, I mean, you wouldn't even imagine. Phone's ringing off the hook.
I'm sure it is.
Emails. A lot of people interested. A lot of people interested. Dave Rothenberg took the Monday edition. Currently holds a 1-0 lead over Christopher Canty. David, what time did Rick DiPietro go to bed? You control the board.
All right, I will say nothing as to tip off our dear friend Chris Canty, and I will go with allowing Chris to start.
I'm going to go with 8:06 p.m. 8:06 p.m.
8:06 p.m.
To take a commanding 2-0 lead on the week. In a shortened week, mind you, because the Friday is the holiday. In typical, guess what time Rick went to bed fashion? I will say 8:05 p.m.
8:05, Chris Canty goes 8:06. Christopher Canty ties it up at 1.
Yes!
What time did you go to bed?
Last night was a 9:24.
What is happening?
I knew it. I knew it wasn't going to be as early as I thought. See, Dave was probably thinking because you went to bed at 10
something. Exactly was my
mindset. Before that he was going to go to bed earlier, but you didn't do that last week. We made that same assumption last week and you didn't do that. So that's why I still went with a bedtime somewhere in the eights. Glad I came out on top.
Oh God.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. I'm in like this vicious cycle. Like I try to go to sleep.
I'm telling you, he's stretching out like a pitcher for the
postseason. I'm not trying to stretch out. My wife wants to watch TV, so she got me watching something. Then I'm flipping through the channels. I come across ridiculousness, which was hilarious, so I ended up watching that for a couple minutes, got me laughing. And
wait, there's a show called Ridiculousness?
It's hilarious.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were saying I just stumbled upon Ridiculousness, and I was entertained, but there's
the show is Ridiculousness.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, they have one last night where this heavyset gentleman was like on a slip and slide, like a homemade slip and slide, and there was like this, there was, at the end of it, it wasn't supposed to be a ramp. It was actually, I think, supposed to stop him, but he was going so fast. He's like clutching at the air to try and slow himself down. He just goes right.
So what is it, like a funniest home videos?
Kind of. Like, yeah, it's funny stuff they've taken off the internet. Rob Dyrdek hosts it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's
I'm
funny.
Sure most of it happens in Florida, right?
There's a lot. Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on in Florida, yeah. Pretty funny stuff. All right, yeah. Boys, let's get going with today's observations. We'll start with some good news. I'm going to give you some good news. Not official yet, but hopefully it does become official shortly. Looks like the NHL should be making a decision here soon, shortly, on hub cities. Hopefully they get an agreement in place. Everyone's dying to see some NHL. I know Dave can't wait to see his Rangers back on the ice.
That's right. And Chris's Rangers as well.
Chris's Absolutely. Rangers. Yeah. Coach Quinn. Little Shesterkin action.
Let's
do that. You guys feel like Shesterkin will be the starting goalie once this thing ramps up?
100%.
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. Good options, though. I mean, three good options. Mm-hmm. Now, I would imagine, what do you guys think hub cities? You think Vegas is still an option?
I don't know why it would be an option, to be honest with you.
With the uptick?
I mean, you now have to quarantine for 14 days if you come from Nevada to New York.
See, here's what I like about what the NHL is doing. And Chris, I know, likes this too. From what I've heard, they're going to test players every single night. So by the time you wake up in the morning and go to the rink, you'll have a negative or positive test.
Yes.
What I also like, which the NBA isn't doing and the NHL is doing, is that staff will also be quarantined. Like people taking care of the players will also be quarantined.
Isn't that what you have to do?
To make it a bubble, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would imagine it's the smartest thing to do. So it could end up being a couple Canadian cities. I don't know if Vegas is still in the mix because of the uptick. I wouldn't be surprised if it's...
I would feel better about it if it was a Canadian city involved in this thing.
Well, plus it's
because I feel like they're handling the pandemic a lot better than we are.
I think it's going to be two. I could see it being two. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Toronto and Edmonton.
Edmonton and Vancouver, or one on the east, one on the west?
Vancouver's out. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Edmonton and Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Plus it's cheaper, which is also...
Wouldn't you have a little more confidence in it though, Rick? Like I'm just saying in terms of everybody being able to stay safe. I just... feels like the mentality is different.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I mean, here's the other thing, too. I mean, as far as the finances are concerned, what it would mean if they don't make this work for the players, it's scary. The amount of money we're talking. Like, escrow would be, like, ridiculous. The whole thing would be ridiculous. Because then all of a sudden, now you're talking about, you know, the salary cap and free agency and, you know, what happens, you know, if the cap goes down, you got to buy a play. The whole thing would be a mess. Complete mess. So just fingers crossed that that actually works its way out. Here we go. We'll start with, did this happen in Florida? You guys ready for this?
Well, we're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Man, 26 years old, was arrested when he decided, in order to pay off his TikTok followers, told his TikTok followers if he got 2,000 likes, that he would jump in the fish tank at Bass Pro Shop. So what did he do? He got the 2,000 likes, and he jumped right into the fish tank at the Bass Pro Shop.
Wait, into the fish tank at the
Bass Pro Shop?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, they got a big giant fish, like aquarium. It's like an aquarium.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's a 13,000-gallon aquarium. Jumped right
have
into
you
it.
Never been to a Bass Pro Shop, Dave?
I have, but I'm not amazed at the fact that they have those fish tanks. I'm amazed that someone would jump into the fish tank.
Oh, he jumped right in, yeah, because he got 2,000 TikTok views.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Plunged right in. There's actually a video of it. See, video attached. How do you like that? Don't look at that now.
No,
was
no.
this a Florida Bass Pro Shop is the question.
I'll say no.
I know the answer, so I'm going to abstain. Yeah, I know the answer.
How do you feel about me saying no, then?
Don't give it to him, Chris. Make him sweat it. Oh. Make him sweat it out. Santi, what do you think? Florida or no?
One of those things that feels like it could happen anywhere, so don't want to put too much into it. But these are the type of people that need to have social media taken away and probably be locked up. I said what I said.
Could you imagine if you're like work, like stocking the chum or like fish food, and you look over and a guy has jumped into the fish tank? You're like, come on, really? Like, nobody signs on for that.
Yeah, who wants to deal with that today?
And then like, what do you do? Did they call the police? Did he get arrested?
He was charged with simple criminal damage to property and released with a citation to appear in court.
Idiot.
I would add stupidity to that.
Yeah.
Citation for stupidity.
Absolutely.
All right, so you got two no Floridas and Canty has the answer.
That's something that Pete would do, just so you guys know.
Great.
My buddy Pete, this is absolutely something Pete would do. That was not Florida, Dave. You are correct. You and Santi are correct. That was Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. It's Gulf South. It was Gulf South, though.
Yeah, not far from.
Yeah, not far from.
Too close for comfort.
Yeah.
Here we go. Another quick one. Did this happen in Florida? And I got a couple more sports stories. This is legitimate now when I tell you this. This is now one step closer. This state is one step closer to becoming the first to legalize psychedelic mushrooms.
Ooh.
Organizers say they've received over 164,000 signatures on this initiative, which is petition number 34, which would legalize psychedelic mushrooms for therapeutic use. Is that the beautiful state of Florida?
No, I would say that's got to be California.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dave on this one. I think that's West Coast.
That's got to be. Either California or Oregon would be.
That's West Coast, yeah. That's definitely West Coast.
Santi, what do you think, my friend?
Either West Coast or one of those weird states like Colorado.
Could you imagine this, though? Could you imagine if you lived like people roaming around on psychedelic mushrooms?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
You guys are correct, Dave. You're on fire. That was Oregon.
Really?
How did you guess Oregon, Dave?
Well, I thought California, and then I thought that area. And then when he said Colorado, it kind of triggered. Maybe it was there. But I knew. That's an out west kind of an issue.
Anything drug-related. We got Davey Dimebags.
That's right.
Play the sound, Sam.
Davey Dimebags.
Davey Dimebags.
His quarterback is Danny Dimes.
Danny Dimes and Davey Dimebags.
I got weather. I give you drug updates. I can do it all.
Have you guys seen this? Canty might have seen this, his favorite team. Did you see what Aroldis Chapman just bought?
Yes. Like, what was it, a Kevlar?
Yeah, it's $150,000 six-wheel Jeep that's lined with black Kevlar.
Oh, why I saw would someone that. Yeah, need that, though? I've seen that, yeah.
I mean, I guess you don't really need it. It has a twin-turbo diesel engine and 600 horsepower. This is one of those purchases that you buy because you think it's going to be awesome. And then you're like, why did I ever buy that Jeep?
It gets six-wheel drive, too.
Six-wheel drive.
It looks like a Batmobile. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Sick. I did that with a Jeep. I got this all-white Jeep and had the guy from customize it like all Islanders colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it, and I was like, this is sweet. And then I was like, no, this is not sweet.
There's actually a company that makes a similar vehicle, but it's bigger. And I think it costs over $500,000. But, yeah, I've heard of guys doing that before. But it's just kind of like, why do you need to have
a
car?
It feels like overkill, doesn't
that it? Has Kevlar. I mean, if you feel like you need that, why the hell are you driving around in that area would be the next question. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, or a six-wheel Jeep in general. Kevlar six-wheel Jeep. I'm not sure what the functionality is, but when you got the money, $150,000, you spend it, I guess. Tell me if you guys believe this or not. So Olivia Culpo is dating Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Had previously dated Danny Mandola. So she actually posted a picture of her kissing Christian McCaffrey as they were eating fried chicken sandwiches. And she writes, "You had me at fried chicken sandwich," with the heart emoji. So Christian McCaffrey's mother weighed in and said, "Get a room."
Oh.
And she responds, this is Olivia, responds, "We're going on vacation next week, but don't worry. I booked us separate rooms. Hashtag virgins." I'm not sure about that.
I was about to say, what?
And is that really the social media battle you want to get into with your boyfriend's mom about sexual issues?
No. I wouldn't. That wouldn't be the kind of conversation. No.
If you're Christian McCaffrey's mom, are you buying that? Come on.
Of course not. I mean, what are you doing?
Husband's in the league. Her son's in the league. She's got another son that's probably going to go to the league. She knows how this goes. Come on now.
Yeah, it's probably like, "Listen, honey, don't be foolish. We all know what's going on here."
Exactly. Like, what are we talking about?
All right, last one for today's
observation.
There is no chance they're going on vacation in separate rooms next week. Zero.
No. Come on, Dave, stop. Separate room. Come on, stop. They probably asked for a twin bed just to be closer to each other.
That's right.
Or he asked for double beds, which I find is great because you have a fun bed, you have the play bed, and then they have the sleeping bed. So you can make a mess in the one bed, and then you have the other one that's nice and clean.
Move along.
Only you would think about that, Rick. Only you would think about that. Only you.
Move along.
It's a party bed and a regular bed.
Don't you have?
It's like the mullet hotel room. I got business in one bed, and I got a party in the back.
Okay.
Let's move along.
All right, here we go. Last one. I actually got sound with this one. Dave, I know how much you love golf. I was going to bring this up yesterday, and I completely forgot because Chris got us.
Too bad.
Chris took us off the. Yeah, Chris took us off the rails.
You're talking about me taking us off the rails. You're talking about 50 Shades of DiPietro over here with separate
beds.
You're
telling us a lot of things.
I didn't mention anything about latex or a sex swing. I just said a separate bed.
Tell me about the golf. I've never wanted to hear golf more than I do right now.
So during the final round of the Travelers Championship, you know now, because I mean, they've offered the players the ability to be mic'd. And there hasn't been much. I mean, Ricky Fowler agreed to it 1 week. There hasn't been much participation. So what they're doing now is they got the live mics. So Greg Chalmers was playing with Ian Poulter, and this is what it sounded like.
Oh my God! Can I hear that again? Oh my God!
So Poulter actually admitted on Twitter. He wrote, "Three club win this morning on the first tee. Always beware of the live mic."
Hilarious. You really let go, huh?
How about Chalmers going, "Isn't that supposed to be more silent than that?"
Oh my God.
Oh man, you almost I would be surprised if you have to put on his rain gear after that. Change those pants up.
That sounded like it was
aggressive.
Yeah. A lot happened.
And there you go, boys. That is a Tuesday edition of Knobservation.
The new NFL Live team has been announced. Did you guys see this?
Mm-hmm.
Laura Rutledge will be your host. Marcus Spears, Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, and Keyshaw Johnson will be your analysts. Should be a nice grouping.
Very nice team. Got my former teammate up there, Marcus Spears, doing his thing.
Yeah,
he's excited for it, Dave.
Yeah, Keyshawn is interesting. Orlovsky is tremendously interesting, and Mina Kimes is excellent. Laura's going to do a great job. Should be a good grouping there. I like it.
So what happens to the booth now?
They haven't announced a booth yet, have they?
No, they haven't. I mean, wasn't Orlovsky one of the names that was being talked about for the booth?
Yeah, but I'd have to figure he could probably still do NFL Live and the Monday night.
Okay, let's do some investigative work here. So, who's not involved in that group that is more than qualified to be in that group that could potentially be in the Monday night booth?
Lewis Riddick?
Maybe.
Yes. Yes.
He's awesome.
What do you think, Levy and Riddick?
I mean, would you complain about that?
No, I love I love Steve Levy. I love Riddick.
Be a good
get a Rothenberg. Maybe we get a Rothenberg mobile to replace the Booger mobile.
What would that be?
I could see you bombing around the field.
Me?
Oh yeah.
I don't
who's
think
better
be good
than you?
I don't think
why?
I'd be good at it. Because I'd be
you're like
too
a
honest.
Fan.
I'd be too honest.
What do you mean? That's what the fans want.
You don't want me to be like, oh, this Ezekiel Elliott stinks. He cheated on the third down play. Wouldn't want that.
That's what people want, Dave. People want brutal honesty. That. You're an everyman.
If you want brutal honesty, I'd be perfect, but I don't think you want that. I couldn't do a Giants
what fan doesn't want
game.
Brutal
I'd be
honesty?
Tearing my hair off. I'd look like I was completely disheveled.
Yeah, but we wouldn't. Again, that would be worked out in the deal. You wouldn't be allowed to do Giants. It just for the safety of the players, you wouldn't be allowed to do Giants games. I don't need you running down an official from the Rothenberg mobile because you're upset at the call during a Giants game.
What are you doing?
Game.
Yeah. Scream at them.
And there goes Dave Rothenberg to the 50. He's at the 40.
It'd be entertaining.
And he's just run down Ed Hockley. It would be hilarious. I would watch it. I'm telling you, you could sell tickets to watch you watch a game.
I'm sure.
It's that.
But I'm not an animal. I don't want to be treated like that. I just want to be left alone and watching the games.
Do you really, though?
Yes.
No, I feel like you're a showman.
No.
I feel like you'd feed off the energy of the
all
crowd.
All Sunday, lock me away. I don't want to be in discussion with anybody.
Let's just keep our fingers crossed that we have that.
They're crossed. All right. Speaking of that, Nuggets closed their facility because of coronavirus sweeping through that.
The expectations are going to be positive tests, though. Until they have the protocols in place that they're going to use during the restart, I would with everyone coming from different places, I would expect there's going to be a lot of positives.
I would think so. You had the same thing in baseball too, right? They had to shut down all the spring training facilities. So,
well, because they're not they were having workouts where guys weren't being regularly tested.
I know, and that's the thing. The key is testing, because the more you test, the more you can hopefully limit the spread of this insidious virus.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.